I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hey, Undisputed listeners. Before we start the show, I wanted to tell you about our brand new Fox Sports app and website, FoxSports.com. Reimagined for the modern sports fan. Go ahead, download the new app right now. You don't even have to pause this episode. Every day on the new app and website, you'll see the top stories in sports, plus a rich world of written content, videos, social media, and analytics to give you a 360-degree view of the most important stories of the day. Streaming live TV has never been so easy or elegant. Every Fox Sports game, including all pregame and postgame shows, are just one click away. For the extra invested fan, we also go deep with real-time wagering lines, trending prop bets, win probability, and key player projections. Download the new Fox Sports app or visit www.foxsports.com now. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We've got a great main course for you coming later today with Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys hosting Washington at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Dallas is looking to avenge a 25-3 loss earlier this season, while Alex Smith hopes to continue his amazing comeback season with his first back-to-back wins since 2018. We're now joined by former Cowboys cornerback Orlando Scandrick. Orlando, happy Thanksgiving. And you know, Thanksgiving means Cowboys football. So will Dallas get their revenge today?
First of all, I want to say happy Thanksgiving, Jenny. Happy Thanksgiving, Skip. Happy Thanksgiving, Shay Shay.
Thank you, bro. Same to you.
It's going to be a tough game. It's a tricky game. It's a division opponent. Two teams that don't like each other. Washington, they're the type of organization, fan base, that they can lose 15 games or 14 games, and as long as they beat the Cowboys twice, they had a great season. It's going to be a tough game, though. I think Dallas is playing a lot better. They've got some life on defense. They're running the ball through Zeke. They're not turning it over. They're getting some turnovers. But do they get some revenge? I would like to say they do. You know, in my heart, I would like to see them win. But, you know, I'm not too confident on this team putting together back-to-back wins yet.
I thought you were going to come out here and say, oh, absolutely.
Well, I thought we were heading that way, and then all of a sudden we reversed field.
You know, every time I come on here and I hand somebody a victory, you know, I got to eat my words. I end up owing yak. I still owe some yak.
Huh. So are you saying you're getting gun-shy on this show?
I'm not getting gun-shy at all. I just think that the Washington football team have a really good front four, really, really good front four. And I think if Dallas has any weakness right now on their offense, they got great skill players. The quarterback's an established veteran guy that's above average. But up front, you know, they're playing with some mismatched lineups. They're playing with Zach Martin. We're going to see exactly how good of a tackle Zach is this evening versus Chase Young. And then just that Washington football team with Payne, with Allen, with Sweat, with Chase Young, and then having Ryan Kerrigan as your situational rusher, that's a scary sight.
I mean, you think about it, and that's something. Kerrigan is a multi-time Pro Bowl player, and now he's their situational pass rusher. It just goes to show you the depth of which they had on the offensive line, and how, I mean, offensive line, their defensive line, and how they built this football team. I agree with you. I took Washington, but I thought the Cowboys win last week. They looked more impressive in beating Minnesota than Washington looked in beating Cincinnati. Cincinnati was doing pretty good job until Joe Burrow went out of the ball game, and then Washington took that ball game over. I'm still not 100% sold that in a situation like this, Alex Smith is the guy that's going to deliver this team to several victories. And you got to be able to get away. You got to be able to move. And I'm just, like I said, I commend him. Kudos for you, Alex, for coming back from that horrible injury, but I just haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen enough yet, enough good plays consistently to say, okay, yeah, that he's ready and this team is ready to turn the corner offensively. Over the last month, they're number one in pass defense, second in sacks, third in scoring D, third on third down, getting people off the field. You can win with that. The question is, can the Cowboys reestablish what they got last week, which was running the football, playing through Zeke, playing through Tony Pollard, and then play action and giving Andy Dalton time to throw the football? If they can't protect Andy Dalton, you can't beat this football team. And that's what they were able to do last time. They shut off the run, and then they put pressure on Andy Dalton. But I'm gonna take the Cowboys. I took the Cowboys. I ain't taking the Cowboys.
Hey, hey, hey. I think that was a Freudian slip.
It was.
I got down. You know.
I got Washington 20-16. I don't think it's gonna be. You know. I don't think it's gonna be one of these games with up and down the field, because I think both teams' defenses are playing better. But I'm gonna take the front four of Washington to get to Andy Dalton. I'm gonna say they get him at least five times. Mm. They limit. I'm not gonna say they shut him down, but they limit Zeke. And they win 2016.
Mm. So I just heard both of you guys, Orlando first, Shannon second, heading toward Dallas, heading knowing the back of your mind, you're like, they're coming. They've arrived. No. They just pulled off the best win on the road at Minnesota that any NFC East team has pulled off all year. That was the most impressive win any team in this division has had all year. And they will parlay that momentum in getting revenge today. I am not afraid to say this. I got the courage of my conviction. My team is back in the driver's seat in this division.
In the driver's seat.
Yes, they're in the driver's seat. They play by far the easiest remaining schedule in this division, but the first order of business is to get revenge by simply playing harder than Washington plays today. Washington ran them off the field 1 month ago, October 25th at Washington.
They did.
It was annihilation and humiliation. They ran for 208 yards. I have no idea how, except that it was all-out mutiny on the part of my team against Mike Nolan, the new coordinator. After that game, Jerry Jones said, enough of this. I'm going to bet on Mike Nolan. I'm going to clean house. He cleaned that locker room. He got rid of 8 veteran free agents he had signed to shore up and bolster that defense. And I believe all 8 of them had balked at Mike Nolan and what he was trying to teach or install defensively in Dallas. They didn't buy it, and I don't blame them for not buying it, but Jerry had the guts to just say, enough of all that. I'm going with Mike Nolan. I'm going to bet on the two Mikes, Mike McCarthy and Mike Nolan. And all of a sudden, the guys remaining on defense are starting to buy in because it's starting to look like a real defense, right? They are starting to stop the run. They at least controlled Dalvin Cook last week.
I get it. I don't take nothing from you. But when you get to these division games, and Shannon, you played in the AFC West, you played with Baltimore, you played in the AFC North, you don't really care about what your record is, who bought into what, who you beat last week. This game is going to come down to who wants it more. Who plays better, who makes the least amount of mistakes, and the team that plays better, not necessarily the better football team, but the team that plays better today on Thanksgiving is going to win.
And you look at Andy Dalton, the thing that Minnesota was unable to do was to make Andy Dalton uncomfortable. They don't have, you know, you let Linval Joseph go, Danielle Hunter is hurt, Everson Griffin now, he was in Dallas and now he's in Detroit. They can't rush the passer. The one thing the Washington football team can do, they can get after your quarterback. And the Dallas secondary, everybody that they play against looks like my homeboy against the Dallas secondary. 24 touchdown passes allowed, 3 interceptions. That's very good. And if you can't do any better than that, you're not going to beat Washington. Even the Washington football team can beat you if you can't consistently get pass rush or your secondary can't take the ball away.
Mm. So, Orlando. Yes. You played with the Dallas Cowboys. You played with a guy named Zach Martin. I think he's the best offensive lineman in football, Would you concur after what you've – I know you played with some good ones in Philly also.
I think he's the best guard in football. There's some really good tackles out there. The guy in Green Bay, Bakhtiari, really good tackle, keeps Aaron Rodgers clean. But, you know, if you made the argument that Zach Martin is the best offensive lineman in football, I could agree with you.
Okay. So they have moved him to a position he does not know, right tackle, so they could get Connor McGovern, their third-round pick a year ago, into his position, which is right guard. All of a sudden, it took off. It solidified. Is Zach Martin as good a tackle as he is at guard? Probably not. But Larry Allen, Jerry Jones compared Zach Martin to Larry Allen, who's Shannon thinks he's the greatest offensive lineman ever, right?
Yeah.
Well, Larry Allen played everywhere.
Yes.
He played all over the line, left tackle, left right guard, and right tackle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Zach Martin is showing you just how great he is because he was road grading Sunday at Minnesota. Again, the front is not what it used to be, but again, they solidified around that. Now they have a credible offensive line, and I do not believe Chase Young or Montez Sweat will have their way with Andy Dalton like they did. Because remember, Zach Martin missed the game, and it's the only game he missed with the concussion. That will change the balance of power today.
Payne and Allen gonna eat them guards. Mm-hmm. Payne and Allen gonna eat.
I agree. But they did it once, but, you know, my papa used to tell me when I was growing up, even the trash can get a steak sometimes.
So you back it out? You going with the Cowboys?
No. Even the trash can get a steak. They got to show me they can do it twice before I'm going to come out here and go with the Cowboys. As much as I want to see them pull it out, I just don't think that they're there yet. I think that they're playing better, but I don't think that they're there yet.
Okay, so my final thought is this. With all that talent on the field, and I told Shannon, on paper, Washington is a little better than Dallas because of all those high picks on defense. Why have they only won three games? Those three are they were losing to Philly in the opener and came back to win it. They were losing to Joe Burrow until they knocked him out of the game and came back to win it. And then they bum-rushed Dallas right out of Washington.
Yep.
So that's it. That's all you got to show for it. Why is that?
Hold on.
Quarterback play. Inconsistent quarterback play.
That's what I try to tell him. But, we go to all these magazines, Pro Football Focus and Pro Football Reference and everybody. When it comes to most talented, what does everybody say? The Cowboys are one of the top five talented teams. So why y'all only got three wins?
Well, we lost our quarterback.
But hold on. Okay? If you talented, you can overcome that. You can put around him and pick right up where you left.
Okay, and I told you, we mutinied against the two new coaches, the coordinator and the head coach.
Well, the problem was, Skip, is that you guys had success. Look at the Raiders on Sunday night, Skip. You see how they were giving up the edges? Because Rod Marinelli is the D-line coach, and he does a lot of slanting. You guys were still trying to do that, getting out of position.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mike Nolan got you guys playing straight up. You're playing a little better defensively, aren't you?
Playing a lot better defensively.
Okay, then, but you're still going to catch this L.
Yeah, I'll take Andy Dalton over Alex Smith any Thanksgiving day.
Well, you're taking him today because the man just came off a gruesome injury. Mm-hmm. But I got the takeout L for him today. You know, ain't no in-room dining. Yep.
Shannon's going to be very, very busy.
This turkey been cooking for like 3 hours.
All day. Orlando, thank you for your time. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll check in with you very soon.
No mercy.
Hey, Undisputed listeners, it's Charlotte Wilder here to tell you about my new podcast with Mark Titus called the People Sports Podcast. It comes out every Thursday, and Mark and I take one of the big stories of the week, and then we go off on tangents you never saw coming. This might mean that we start talking about the Dodgers winning the World Series and end up wondering if Knicks fans deserve happiness. Or begin with LeBron's greatness and end up drafting our ultimate beer league softball team made up of old athletes. Whatever it is, the only rule of the show is that it has to be fun and funny, because these days we could all use as many laughs as we can get. So check it out wherever you get your podcasts and come down weird sports rabbit holes with us. We can't wait to have you.
No mercy.
According to some next-gen stats, Tom Brady is 0-for-19 on deep passes that travel 20-plus yards in his past four games. Meanwhile, his replacement in New England, Cam Newton, is 4-for-7 for 145 yards and a touchdown on those throws. For Bucs fans, this has to be a bit of a concerning stat, considering Bruce Arians' offense is built around the deep ball, the no-risk-it, no-biscuit philosophy. So, Shannon, has Tom Brady become a deep ball liability in an offense based on throwing the deep ball?
Well, Skip, that was really never his ability to do that. With the exception of 2007, one year in his 21-year career, Tom Brady was very great and proficient at throwing the deep ball. You're asking a man to do something in year 21 that he hadn't done in 13 years. That's not Tom Brady's strength. Tom Brady is all about picking you apart. Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, Danny Amendola, okay, James White, Kevin, all these guys. That's his game. You asking him to do something that's not what he's been doing. Brady is also a part of the problem, Skip, because when you signed up for this, you knew the offense that you were going to. Or you need to have us like, Bruce, how much leeway are you going to be willing to give me in this offense? Because really, this is not, Skip, when you become a free agent, man, I wasn't trying to go to no team, Skip. All they did was run the football. Yeah, I need to throw. How are you going to use me? Are you going to let me do some of the things that I did in Denver? I'm not saying everything that I did.
Well, you did go to a team that allowed you one pass a game, right? And it worked, right?
Well, Skip, that wasn't what I was told. I was told I was going to be, although I wasn't be involved in the offense as I was in Denver, you know, we're going to find ways to get you the football. Well, it worked to get the football when I could and try to make the best of the situation.
Yep.
But in this situation, Skip, they're asking Brady to do something, Skip, that he's really never done. Mm. I'm a firm believer. If they would just say, Brady, it came out better, Skip, learning Brady's offense. Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich. Okay, Tom, give us your, because I'm sure Tom got the playbook. All these years, it's hard for me to believe, Skip, he didn't keep at least one playbook. And it would be easier for Mike Evans and Godwin and those guys to learn what Tom does as opposed to Tom doing what they do. Because throwing the ball down the field, Skip, that's not his strong suit. Let him nickel and dime. You make the mistake, Tom pick you apart. But to ask him to push the ball down the field, Skip, I don't think they're doing Tom a great service. Mm. They're doing him a disservice. And it shows.
Mm. Okay, so for me, the Brady hate I experience knows no bounds.
Who hates on him now?
This new narrative about, it's almost like an aha moment for the many Brady haters. I'm not even talking just about you, but but they're out there in legion form. There are like billions of them. There's many Brady haters as there are LeBron defenders and lovers. So they have leaped upon this new narrative, which is completely bogus and misleading. Aha, we got him. He can't throw deep. So let's look back at what's happened. Let's look at body of work in the year 2020 at what I call Tampa Bay.
Okay.
What has happened? Well, let's look at the first 8 games. That's half a football season, so that's a pretty good body of work. I'm going to use the Pro Football Focus stats here because he is, according to Pro Football Focus, 1 for his last 19 deep throws.
Okay.
In the last 3 games. Well, really, it crossed over into the Raiders game at Vegas. Mm-hmm. So it's parts of 4 games.
Right.
But after 8 games, they were 6-2.
Right.
Guess what Tom Brady was on deep balls at that point?
What was it?
He was 17 for 39. He had almost completed half of his 20-plus mm-hmm. yard throws for a grand total of 583 yards. All of those, the 17 deep completions and the 583 deep yard completions, led all of football.
Okay.
So don't tell me he can't throw deep, because that's what he was doing the best through the first 8 games, and they got all the way to 6-2.
Right.
Well, now he's 1 for his last 19 for a grand total of 44 yards. What happened? What was the new X factor? Tom Brady said, we got to go get Antonio Brown. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to force Antonio into an equation that was working at a high level. Mm-hmm. Because at 6-2, even you were agreeing, yeah, they look like they could be the best team.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom's playing at a high level. Pro Football Focus has him graded at least in the top 5. Even last week, they had him up to 2nd in overall rating for the whole year.
Right.
And yet, once they've added Antonio Brown and they ran into 2 really good defenses on back-to-back games in prime time at home, they ran into the Saints, who can rush for and get you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were all over Tom Brady on that night. Meanwhile, right on schedule, Tampa Bay's defense, Todd Bowles' defense that I had so much respect for, has gone completely kaput and south. and they gave up 420 yards to Drew Brees and 413 to Jared Goff. Well, it's going to be hard to overcome that when you're up against two defenses that rank Rams number one in fewest yards allowed, and New Orleans ranks number three in fewest yards allowed.
Well, if you combine those two defenses and put them together, they still should be no match for the GOAT.
Okay, but the GOAT was overmatching everybody he played because he was no risk it, no biscuit at the highest level. He was leading the league in big-time throws, and which are 20-plus yard throws.
So where were those, since you talked about the reason why he's not getting big-time throws because of the defense that he was playing, when he went 17 to 36, where were those defenses ranked? Were any of those big-time throws against Chicago? With any of those big-time throws against New Orleans? With any of those big-time throws against the Rams? Well, so in other words, you're taking advantage of bottom feeders defensively. So again, to make a long story short,
well, I told you in their seven win, you know, I've got seven of their eight wins. I'm sorry, six of their seven wins. He lit it up. He's got 19 touchdowns to one interception. And if you want to say these are bottom feeders, Denver's defense, the Chargers, Green Bay's defense,
terrible
Raiders defense. Giants defense that you've come around, now you're driving their bandwagon, and at Carolina, which they had just gone up to Mahomes and Bridgewater had outplayed Mahomes at Kansas City.
You do know that if this doesn't go well, you know who this is going to fall on, right, Skip? It's going to be on Brady.
Okay, that's fine. Well, he's bought into this. This is what he asked for.
Because okay, given you everything you've asked for.
Okay. He wanted Antonio Brown. But it was going to be difficult to not.
He wanted Gronk.
Okay. Remember, well, that was from the start. At least you got him from the start. There were no preseason games. Mm-hmm. There was virtual OTAs. So you got very little time to prepare to get to know a team that you didn't know at all. Everything was new. Offense, teammates, all new. So he starts out cold in week one at New Orleans, which I thought was completely unfair. But then we get all the way to 6-2, and he's rolling, and he says, if I'm going to go win a Super Bowl, I need Antonio Brown. Was that big risk it for the biscuit?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, but this is what I don't get. This is what I don't get. Now, when he was 17 to 36.
Mm-hmm. 39.
39. 17 to 39. Mm-hmm. On those deep throws, yep. You didn't mention anything about no OT. They're not having OTAs. Mm-hmm. They were doing this thing by Zoom. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention anything about that. No. Now, he's 1-19 on those last throws. You mentioned that they had no OTAs. Okay. They brought in Antonio Brown. Why?
Yeah, the Hall of Famer across me kept telling me that he's a noodle arm, spaghetti arm, that he's lost it. He's lost some velocity. I said, no, he actually looks like he's gained velocity because he's throwing the deep ball better than with more velocity than he ever threw it in New England.
Skip, what good is throwing the deep ball if it's inaccurate? What good is a 100-mile-an-hour pitch if you can't spot it?
Okay, but for eight games, he was almost 50% of his deep balls. Does that work? And who was one of his favorite receivers for the deep ball? The best deep ball he threw was at Raiders, at Las Vegas, at the end of the half.
But he wasn't happy with that.
Little Scotty
Miller. He wasn't happy with that.
Okay. So he says, I got to go up one notch to Antonio Brown because, as you told me, for 5 years, he was the best receiver in football, the most productive receiver in football.
Yes.
So Brady's saying, I don't just want to win one playoff game. I want to go win the Super Bowl that's going to be played in our stadium, right?
Yes.
So if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to figure out Antonio Brown on the fly. I'm going to have to force him in and then force feed him to the detriment of my offense short term, because long term, this might pay off. Now, maybe it won't pay off until next year.
Right.
But right now, he's trying to do something on the fly that is virtually impossible.
Are you sure he's coming back for next year?
Well, are you saying they don't want him back?
I'm just asking you, will he be? I don't know.
Huh?
I mean, it seems like every chance he gets, Bruce Arians is, you know, giving him a haircut.
Okay. Well, I hope they cut him so he can go somewhere else.
Where?
Yeah. Well, name it. Name somebody who needs a quarterback. Anybody would want him.
No, no, no.
Those numbers that he's putting up?
What numbers?
Are you? I just told you what they are.
I mean, he's the 14th or 15th best quarterback now.
Says you. I think he's a top five quarterback. Says Pro Football Focus. They still have him as a top five performing quarterback.
Pro Football Focus lost all their credibility.
Lost their mind.
The mere fact that they said he was better than Mahomes.
All I know is the man across from me, for four straight years on Undisputed, has said, this is it. This is the end of him. He's got to go home after this year.
No, he ain't got to go home,
So
Skip.
Here we are.
Skip, I just told you the days of him being the best, and you're just, Tom.
But you continue to predict oh, Tampa's still going to make the playoffs. So they're going to send him home after they make the playoffs?
Oh, well, Coach Belichick did.
Okay. Yeah. Is he going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, no, that's right. Hey, look what he did with the weapons. I mean, look at Cam. He got Jacoby Myers. Had 16 catches. Bird had a big day. Look at them guys, what he's doing. What Tom couldn't do.
Who got the dub in that game? I think Deshaun did.
Yo guy didn't get no dub on Monday night.
I think he's a little better off and much better position to make the playoffs than Belichick's.
Because they got to carry him. He understood he needed to go to get downstream. He needed to go with a current. He had to go with two Pro Bowl receivers.
You picked the Patriots to make the playoffs. I didn't.
Is the season over?
Yes, it's over for them.
No, it's not.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Tom has followed up with a win after his losses as well this season. So you know he's prepping right now.
No mercy.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Doug Peterson has been asked plenty about benching Carson Wentz in favor of Jalen Hurts, and his latest response didn't exactly put the issue to bed. When Peterson was asked if he was switching QBs, he hesitated, then said, quote, not today on Wednesday, no. Then asked if his hesitation meant that he was at least thinking about it, he responded curtly, I think about a lot of things. Wentz is my starter, end of story. You can blow it up however you want. Sensing a little tension. Shannon, should Peterson replace Wentz with Jalen Hurts?
No, he shouldn't. I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat anything. Carson has not played well this year, Skip, but neither has other, you know, offense hadn't played well. Defense had played particularly well in spots, although the defense, I believe, is a strong suit of the team. There have been times that the offense gets going, and when they need the defense to get a stop, they let the opposing offense go down the field and get more points. The injury situation. But all that aside, Carson needs to do a better job of protecting the football. Skip, I get it. The offensive line has been beat up. He hasn't had D-Jack the lion's share of the season. Alshon has been out. He's back, but he's not the Alshon of old. Zach Ertz is out. Goddard has been out for a period of time. And again, Sanders has missed time. But that's no excuse for you turning the ball over. Some of the throws and some of the interceptions that he's doing, I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Carson? You can't do that when your team is struggling. The quarterback needs to be the reason why you win. He can't be the reason why you lose because he touched the ball too much, Skip. You can't do that. But Dougie P needs to understand, stop living in the past. This is not 2017. You can't call the exact same plays that you called then because you don't have the same type of team. LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi is not banging the ball. You can't play action like you once could because you can't run it. Alshon was a different animal. Goddard was he and Kelce and Kittle. They were fighting each other, Kelce and Goddard was, for who's the best tight end in football. It's not there. It's not that anymore. So you're calling the same type of plays, using all this scat protection, and you got, you know, you're down to your third and fourth different starting lineups. So a lot of this is on Dougie P, but he's bringing a lot of this on himself because the pause when reporters ask you, you should already look. I know what they're going to ask, Skip. You know how Philly, well, you know how the media works, especially in Philly. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask you these questions. Carson is my quarterback. We're moving forward. Carson gives us the best chance to win. Now, Jalen Hurts could have made it a lot more difficult that when he comes in those cameos, he gives them something, like Taysom Hill. When Taysom Hill came into the game, Skip, what did he, like, hey, look at him.
He's throwing the ball. Oh, look at him running. Jalen Hurts coming to the game. Has he shown you any bright spots like that? No, he hasn't. I don't believe they should go to Jalen Hurts. I believe Wentz still gives them the best chance to win.
Mm. Shannon Sharp, here on Thanksgiving Day, you need to give up the ghost of the man you call Walk It To Him Wentz that I have renamed.
He ain't going nowhere.
Give It To Him Wentz. It's over. He has come all apart. Even if you look at the scope of his, how many years has he played now? We're up to five.
Five, 2016.
Fifth year. Since entering the league, he has the third most turnovers in the whole league to Jameis and third Cousins up in Minnesota, okay, over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But so far, he leads the league in interceptions. He leads the league in sacks, so he's holding on the ball too long, even though his protection has obviously broken down occasionally. Right. And his total turnovers, including the four fumbles lost, equal 18, which is five clear of the next individual on the list. And is more than 29 other teams have as a team. That's abominable. That's all-time bad. And it's pretty clear the coach has given up on him.
Yeah.
Because the coach is nobody's fool. He's been around. He's done Super Bowl press conferences. He knows how the media works, especially in Philadelphia. So he gets asked yesterday, are you thinking about any change at quarterback? Not today on Wednesday, no. That's you're dropping a bombshell.
Thank you.
Not today on Wednesday? And somebody says, well, what about Monday? Because they play on Monday night against Seattle at home. Long pause. I'm focused on getting better today. What? So the door is open? No. No, Carson is our quarterback. Well, you don't it doesn't sound very convincing.
Are you thinking about it? Well, I think about a lot of things.
Yeah, I think about a lot of things, okay? I am a huge Jalen Hurts fan, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know him only from Alabama and Oklahoma, but I thought he was really good at Alabama under a lot of pressure, a lot of fire. Mm-hmm. Then he goes to Lincoln Riley, who helped transform him into a big-time college quarterback, who was second in QBR, and what I love about Jalen Hurts is he has such football character that a team wants to follow him into battle. Mm-hmm. If you gave him the reins of this team, it would be better with Jalen Hurts. I'm not saying he's more talented than Carson because Carson's up at the top of talent. What is he, 6'5"?
Yeah, big dude, strong, 235, 240.
Big arm,
yeah,
all the above. So he's more talented. He's bigger, stronger. I don't know if he's stronger because Jalen Hurts in the weight room is a beast.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you give Jalen Hurts the reins, he'll take over the locker room and take over the huddle and take over the team. And he's not a gadget quarterback. He doesn't have that Taysom Hill. He's a guy who's been used to – he was a starting quarterback his first year at Alabama.
Right.
You know, like he grew up a starting quarterback. His father was his coach all the way. So – he doesn't know gadgets. He's not Taysom Hill trying to make his way into the league.
But just think about this, Skip. When Cam Newton was struggling, they ended up taking Cam out. They asked Coach Belichick, Coach Belichick, who's Cam's our starter? They didn't ask him any more questions. It's done.
It was done.
That's how you handle that.
And he was convincing. Yep.
But when you start up, they ask you a question and you pause, what you think about?
Mm.
So that means you've actually thought about doing what we're asking you about. Or you're thinking about doing what we're asking you about.
Yep.
Oh, so I think about a lot of things. No, I haven't thought about it. Just like with Skip. You remember when Tom Brady struggled at Arrowhead? What do they call it? The Arrowhead, whatever, Monday Night Mask or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the 38 or whatever.
The 44-14, something like that.
44-14.
They asked Coach Belichick, are you going to bench Tom? You think about going? He laughed at him.
He said, I'm on to Cincinnati.
Come on.
And all they did was go win the
Super Bowl.
Yep.
After they, and as a matter of fact, Cincinnati was, if I'm not mistaken, 6-0 at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they whitewashed them.
They wiped them out. And here they went.
Doug, you bringing this on yourself.
So I'm going to say it again. I told you this before the year. As a lifelong Cowboy fan, I have one fear in this division, and that is that they will hand the reins to Jalen Hurts because I would be in trouble if they do that. That's how much I believe in this
young
man.
You should have another fear. The Cowboys.
Mm.
They're going to do Cowboy things. I'm counting on it. Yep. Don't let me down, Cowboys. Do what you normally do at this time of year.
I'm going to be right here at 9:30 Eastern tomorrow morning, and I hope you show up.
Okay.
Because you might want the day off.
Your day coming.
Yeah.
You see how happy you get this week?
You want tomorrow?
No, I don't need tomorrow.
I can just debate myself.
No, I'm good.
No mercy.
Photos of LeBron working out with his son, Bronny, went viral on Twitter yesterday. And honestly, you can see the resemblance right away as Bronny has clearly hit a growth spurt. LeBron has said he's dreamed of playing alongside his son one day. And even though Bronny is only 16 years old, he already looks like he has the height to make the NBA. So, Shannon, what was your reaction?
He's growing into that body. Yeah. I mean, we know his dad, LeBron. But his mom was a great athlete in her own right, great softball player. And had she stuck with it, like we talk about Kat Osterman or Monica Abbott or Kehlani Ricketts, Natasha Watley, we might be talking about Savannah Brinson.
Maybe.
Yeah! That boy from Goodstock, like O'Shea Sharp. Yeah, I was born in 68, but I didn't come out of Woodstock. I came out of Goodstock.
Good stock.
When them Port and Sharps got together, I got two NFL
sure
players.
You weren't at Woodstock, for sure.
I was not. So, Skip, and look, I mean, you could tell his body is starting to mature. He's starting like, hey, that boy got a dad body.
Talk about a growth spurt.
Yeah.
When I saw this, I said, he looks 6'5"?
Yeah.
Does he? I know LeBron's kind of leaning, but he looks solid, though. Well, he's been living in the weight room.
He's been on that iron,
Right?
Yep.
So, again, his father is 6'9". So, could Bronny be 6'7"? Who knows?
Yeah.
But again, it looks like... From the last time I saw him as a freshman in high school, he looked like he was 6'1", maybe?
Yeah. I don't know if he was that tall. But, I mean, he looked, I mean, wow.
I mean, unless LeBron had this Photoshop, but I don't think he did. Not for Bronny, right?
I mean, he growing. I had a little growth spurt like that. I went from 5'5", 132 as a freshman to about 5'9". About 155 as a sophomore, and I was like 175 as a junior. Then I was like 182.
Well, you got a long way to go to catch this kid, because that's
he already bigger than I was as a sophomore. I mean, 6'2". He lucky probably about 170.
And then LeBron threw me because at first glance I couldn't figure out what he was. I said, "Are you throwing down gang signs or what?" He's doing four.
You know what four is. That's four for four.
I was happy he's pointing them down because they deserve to be pointed down because he's got this many losses in the finals.
Guess when he take a picture next year with Bronny. He'll be like this here.
Really?
He'll be like this here. So y'all can see if what he can do.
You guaranteeing that?
And then next year you're going to have somebody with some fingers in there because they're going to have somebody got to get an extra finger in there.
I may have to post something today on IG.
You ain't
got to
post
anything like this.
You ain't gotta do anything.
And everybody will know.
You ain't got to do anything. You ain't got to do anything. You ain't got no business posting. Skip, hold on. This is about LeBron and Bronny, and Bronny hitting a growth spurt and starting to all of a sudden, he's like, okay, now.
So give the kid his stage. You don't need to be doing this.
Skip, he giving him his stage. He's working with what better teacher you got than the GOAT?
None better. In that sport, none better. I give you that.
I mean, if Einstein had a kid, you think he going to send him to a tutor?
I mean, unless you had Jordan, but Jordan teaches nobody. Jordan's above teaching it. He didn't want to teach his own kids. He is unto himself.
I'm sure, but it's hard. I think the thing is, Skip, it's just hard because everything basketball, we think, not to say LeBron didn't work, but there are some gifts that come so natural to you that it's not coming as natural to LeBronny, to Junior, as it came to him. And it's hard. That's what people, Shannon, why don't you coach? You know, I can't coach because I ain't got no patience.
Yep, I agree.
You got to have patience to coach, even your kids.
Well, the early reviews on Bronny projecting just college basketball was that he was just going to be pretty good as a college basketball player. Well, now you give him that spurt, and if I would think he would still have a couple of more inches of growth in him,
It's hard to see a situation where he's not going to be at least 6'4", 6'5".
Okay, but doesn't he look 6'5"?
Yeah. No, I think he's probably about 6'2", 6'3". But he saw, he getting his dad's body.
Hey,
that's what he's starting to fill out.
Whew.
Because you know his dad's dead.
His dad.
You know his dad.
No, I got it. I give you all that. But
Kawhi.
That kid's neck is even beyond LeBron. Yeah. That looks like a weight room neck.
Kawhi better be getting at them shots. I hope Kawhi is training in the lab, because you know last year they were in the lab. Somebody talk about they're in the lab, but we be in the lab putting that work in. Hope he getting that work in.
Kawhi doesn't have to post it. He just does it.
Does what? What'd he do? Go in the second round? That's what he need to post. Post that. Going out in the second round. How you score 2 points in the second half? Hey, Skip.
You should have a Corona today because you just won the Corona Championship.
No, you did.
Skip. That's what you did.
We're going to win this one, too.
Yeah.
We're going to win 2021.
Coronavirus Championship. Have a Corona today.
I don't think
that's five. We're going to have five or five, Skip.
We are not calling it that.
No mercy.